This is the Civilized Barking Podcast with Zach Jackson.
This is going to be our post-game live room. This will be our Civilized Barking post-game podcast. I'm going to circle around here, give it about 20 more seconds here before we get started. But we are about an hour and a half after, even though it was long before that. Browns 24, Bengals 3, a complete domination. So, Jason, the 100th Battle of Ohio was not a battle at all. Not perfect. And some things to worry about and clean up on, which you're going to have in any situation, but completely dominant by the defense, completely dominant by really every phase by the end. The Browns slammed the door. It could have been worse, honestly. They finally, you know, did slam the door on the Bengals emphatically. 2 of 14, Burrow was on third down. And to me, what was a really predictable result comes with a lot of exclamation points because the defense wasn't just good. They weren't just a step ahead. They were thoroughly dominant the whole day.
I mean, Za'Darius Smith, first play of the game, three-step drop, and he hits Burrow. And I kind of looked up and thought, okay, well, maybe we've got something here. And Burrow's final number is 14 of 31, 82 yards. Obviously, the conditions weren't great. I think it caught both teams off guard. Neither team really was expecting this much rain. And kind of messed with the game plan, I think, a little bit. And, you know, Burrow missing a month with the calf. This is really his first time out of bubble wrap. All that being said, take nothing away from what the Browns did defensively. Like, this was a best case scenario when they hired Jim Schwartz. This was a wet dream of sorts to see Za'Darius and Miles. And you tweeted out about Miles lining up at nose guard. They're moving him around. They're moving him all over the defense. The front four created havoc. They were bringing blitzes all day, mixing blitzes, showing blitz, dropping two. It was an unbelievably impressive dismantling of a team that was in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago and is one of the odds-on favorites to return. Doesn't guarantee anything is going to happen after today, but for this team to start out this way, at least defensively, after all the problems last year, after all the blown coverages that we saw, the frustration from players of why aren't we ever changing anything? It's not working, and they don't ever do anything to fix it. What a dominant performance from this defense and from Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, I agree. Now, not to say I would never make note of the first play of the game, but when you do, it usually gets lost quickly.
Yeah.
Like 8 or 10 times over, but I saw the same thing. I thought, oh my God, he's right there. He just blasted him. That's a tone setter. And then it played out that way. The Browns had to have this one. They conducted themselves accordingly. And like I said, out of a first game, you're always going to have all sorts of things. To spin forward, to worry about, to wonder at what you could have done differently or where maybe you have a shortcoming. And obviously the Jack Conklin injury does not bode well. The offense was far from great.
Yeah.
You know, outside of number 24, didn't need to be, right? And that's a big thing. But the defense, just super impressive. The corners, Grant Delpit, the best game of his career, right?
Yeah.
Za'Darius being what he thought that he was. You know, part of the reason... You know, Miles moving inside, Jason, that's part of the package and how they're going to attack people. Part of the reason to me that they busted it out so early today was every single Bengals drop back had someone chipping Miles. Sometimes the tight end stayed. Sometimes the running back went straight there. Sometimes a receiver or running back in motion ran right to that spot to help out on Myles Garrett. And so they're moving him around. That was the plan. And they were going to have to live with the other guys doing it. And they couldn't live. They were drowned quickly. T. Higgins, the last I looked, was 7 targets and no catches, right? Just no timing out of anyone. Yeah, that's the final line on T. Higgins. 8 targets.
8 targets, no catches.
Yeah. And as you run through these stats, they speak to the domination, right? Sometimes numbers don't tell the story, but the Browns 350 yards to 142. The Browns 35 minutes and 50 seconds in time of possession. I thought the Bengals probably should have gone for a fourth down earlier. When they didn't, with about 10 minutes to go, Miles gets the sack. It was over then, but that was really the exclamation point. They walk it in the end zone, and then they kind of put it out of reach. One drive later, Burrow's not even in. So, yeah, for Jim Schwartz, the way he drew it up, it had to be pretty darn close. And, you know, I think there's a lot of trust internally and externally that he will go and find things that were wrong, and he will keep making the tweaks, and we'll see. You know, I think a little bit we saw how teams are going to attack. The Browns are still going to run right at it. They get the opportunity. There's going to be quick screens and stuff to take advantage of this aggressiveness. But it's been pretty clear here from January. They thought Schwartz was a fit because they thought the way he wants to play and the way he teaches fits what they have. They went and got Za'Darius Smith to make that a better fit. And we can go on what we saw, and what we saw was dominant.
How much could I have made if before the game I bet Nick Chubb to be the leading pass catcher on the Browns offense?
Yeah, you probably could have made a decent amount with that. That's for sure.
I mean, 4 catches, 21 yards. Yeah, that was
the
game high in receptions was 4. Now, part of that, you know, Deshaun did a nice job of spreading around on the balls that he did complete. But, you know, let's not sugarcoat it. He didn't play well either. You know, we can laud the defense for the job that they did on Joe Burrow. And again, conditions were what they were, and neither team was expecting the rain. Not a good showing from Deshaun overall. 16 of 29, 154 yards, the touchdown and the pick. The pick looked brutal in real time. He said the ball was tipped. I didn't notice that in real time, and I didn't see a replay on it. So certainly plenty to improve on. I am concerned about the tackle play. I don't know that DeJuan Jones is ready for what's in front of him, because it sounds like Conklin's done for the year. Maybe his career is over at this point. I don't know how many more of these types of devastating knee injuries he can really take. So there's major questions right now, really, at both tackle spots on this offense going forward. Jed Wills did not play well today at all. So you can take the win and be happy. I guess you got lots to improve on, because there's certainly room for growth on the offensive side.
Yeah, it was really miserable performance by both quarterbacks, right? More so by Joe Burrow, and the Browns had a lot to do with that. Having Nick Chubb is good. We did see, right? It was a huge, huge, huge for the Browns to score before the half, because they should have already been up a lot more than 3.
Yes.
To finish that drive when they had the big play by Elijah Moore to get him going, his kind of first one, and they had to use the timeout because Deshaun got hit so hard. And then Stefanski said that was a play call they just put in on Saturday morning based on the read. You know, that might have a lot to do with Alex Van Pelt knowing the Bengals as well as he does. And that's what, you know, you're going to have to live with that. Now, are you going to really thrive with Deshaun creating and taking so many hits? No, but, you know, that is a way to make defenses pay. And the Browns were out of timeouts with, I think, 26 seconds. They knew exactly what coverage the Bengals were going to be in because of that situation. You know, keep everything in front of them. Sit back. Do not get burned by a guy running, like specifically Njoku, Cooper just making one cut in and go down the middle. So they caught him in the middle. Cooper makes a block, and he gets out and scores the touchdown. And it was probably game over there. Now, it got a little – because of the turnover, it got a little sticky there in the third quarter. But when you look at beating the Cincinnati Bengals in week one, and there's only, like, again, outside of the Conklin injury, about 3 moments in the entire game where it was even a little bit uncomfortable, then, yeah, you walk away saying, okay, that was a dominant win. It could not have gone any better. Get a, you know, the extra day to heal and dig into to what needs fixed and what they're going to have to do to help these tackles going forward. Right, we know what happened the last time they went over to Pittsburgh with a rookie tackle having to play.
Yeah,
Baker still has the scars from that. It was the last time he would ever play for the Browns. So we'll see. So I mean, it just goes to the defense, and I don't want to. I mean, as awesome as Miles and Za'Darius were, and I think will be, all 3 corners. This is what they look like in camp, and this is why it was so alarming, upsetting, whatever, to me when they played Denzel Ward in the preseason, because these guys were just awesome. And these, you know, even in the conditions, which I do think were a factor, even in the Bengals' week one rustiness, which definitely was a factor, I mean, they were all over them. And the one time Higgins got a step, Delpit comes flying out of nowhere. The ball's a little bit underthrown. He knocks it away. And that's a huge play, because that would have made a
huge play.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I know we touched on it already, but I can't get over Joe Burrow's final numbers. 82 passing yards for the game.
Yeah.
I bet you he's had quarters in his career where he had 82 passing yards. I know he has. 82 passing yards for an entire game. How much of this, I mean, they're not going to see the Bengals again until last game, right? Last game of the season at Cincinnati. But this talk of the Browns having Joe Burrow's number, holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's on the Browns now to go make that game be something, right?
Yeah.
To make that for either all the marbles or one team in, one team out, whatever that will be. We knew, and this is and was a big talking point. The Browns are the only team in the league that plays all three of its division rivals in the first month of the season. The Browns play 4 of the first 5 at home. That hasn't happened in 50-some years for this Browns team. So in addition to just what's hanging out there with the quarterback and the head coach and everything, they needed wins. And it wouldn't have mattered today if they snuck out 21-20. They won. I see the comments. Yes, the kicker delivered. That's big. The corner delivered. Grant Delpit delivered. You know, Jerome Ford fumbles early, and that's a killer. You get in the red zone, and you get no points. That'll sink you real quick. But he comes back, gets some much-needed experience later. The offensive line just kind of pounds in. You're not overusing Chubb there. Like, yeah, it's all positive vibes. And then for the Browns to not be the same old Browns, but just they have to go do it next Monday night in Pittsburgh.
We talk about the corners and the job that they did. You know, no Juan Thornhill. And for the secondary to hold the way that it did, no bust, no coverage bust in the secondary. Think back to last year and all of the busts that we saw where guys turning around and throwing their hands up. And, you know, you got four DBs playing one coverage and a fifth playing a totally different coverage. And it's an 80-yard break down the sideline or down the middle of the field. To not have that with the type of caliber receivers that they have. And you mentioned earlier, I didn't even realize until you just said it. Not one catch for T. Higgins. Were you surprised at all? I thought that they might just shadow Denzel on Jamar, and they really didn't do that, especially early. Martin Emerson had Jamar quite a bit early on, and they really seemed to just sort of mix the coverages more than I was expecting.
Yeah, I made note of that early, and it didn't track it the whole game, but it looked like Emerson was playing right side and Ward.
Yes, regardless of where the Bengals lined up.
Yes, yes. And, you know, when you think about it, what the Bengals do is they spread you out and Burrow picks it apart. And the quick game is not usually an issue for them, right? Because they use Tyler Boyd in the slot. You know, they mix guys around. The screen game was good. I think, forget the numbers on the exact completions, right? Success rate on the screen, they had two or three out of, 7-8 tries? I mean, every time he dropped back, he was getting hit. And there's a couple in particular in the third quarter where he knows it's coming and he gets out and he doesn't pull the trigger down the field. He dumps off to Irv Smith. And I don't care even if Za'Darius and Miles didn't play the way they did. If on third down he's dumping to Irv Smith, the Browns are going to live with that.
That's a win. Yep.
Right. That's it. So, yes, for T. Higgins to get the goose egg, it's crazy. It's not something we would have seen coming. Tyler Boyd, 3 targets, 2 catches, 10 yards. You know, Evans, who's a really shifty third down back and a guy who's had success screen game, 1 catch, minus 1 yard. You know, they only sacked Burrow twice. They hit him all day. They were in his face. We can keep saying the same things. Just super impressive. I thought even the Browns punter was good. The kicker was good. You know, like, certainly not a perfect performance because of the offense and because of losing Jack Conklin, but darn close to perfect on defense. I thought the special teams were noticeably better. The Bengals punting game sucked, and the Browns didn't. The Bengals missed a field goal. The Browns didn't. All these things that last September we were talking about kept adding up for the Browns. They take 1-0 and we'll see what they're made of going to Pittsburgh.
One thing I noticed, I'm going to write about this, I think, in the column once we wrap up here and I get to writing. Deshaun's A-dot was almost 11 yards today. Average depth of target was almost 11 yards. That's by far the highest, way higher than his 6 starts last year. I think I looked it up. It was around 7 yards last year in the Cincinnati game. And of course, that's how far the ball's traveling through the air. And Deshaun talked about it after the game about they wanted to take deep shots, and they did. I mean, he underthrew Marquise Goodwin twice. Goodwin might be this sounds outlandish. He might be every bit as fast as Tyreek Hill because Deshaun couldn't hit him in stride. Underthrew him twice. That could have been 2 big plays, 2 scores. He was open both times, and Deshaun underthrew him both times. Maybe that's conditions. Maybe that's just adapting to Goodwin's speed because of the health concerns. They really didn't have any time in the preseason to work on that. But the Browns made an effort to really drive the ball down the field more than they have, I can recall, since I started hanging around this team in 2018. Obviously, this is going to be a point of emphasis throughout the season, but just finding chunk plays, creating chunk plays, driving the ball down the field. Now he has to complete them. You know, he missed DPJ wide open in the middle of the field, skipped it to him. It just felt like he was a half click off most of the afternoon, but you see where the intent is. You see now what's expected of this offense, and it's to take those deep shots down the field.
Yeah, and that's a positive. That's a mandate too. And look, it wasn't great for the pass offense at all, but Amari goes in the tent, dodges the bullet, comes back in the game. You did see a little bit of Njoku get involved. And then Elijah Moore, it wasn't the best start, but he made 2 plays, 1 late in the second quarter and 1 in the second half, where you see that's what it's supposed to look like, right? Why did they want Elijah Moore? because he catches it and he's so small and explosive that when the first guy misses, a lot of times the other guys aren't in position.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking. Like when Elijah Moore catches it, he is not looking for the sticks. He's looking for the pylon, right? And he's looking to make that big play. So he hasn't been consistent. Obviously, the timing and everything of the pass offense has to be better. But I do think there are a couple of positives there as they'll take. So there's some Deshaun has to. Anybody has to hit, especially this quarterback,
yep,
right, for this offense. But it's for the first game, seeing how they want the pieces to fit and knowing that number 24 is there, you know, still some positives here. Most importantly, the dominating win, and we'll just see where it goes.
We talked about the first play of the game defensively. We didn't get to sit together today, so I didn't get a chance to ask you about the first play, the first series offensively. The Browns come out, Elijah Moore lines up in the backfield, and then they go no huddle, empty right away. And that seemed like a new wrinkle that we haven't really seen before.
Yeah, and I think the weather probably made him get away from that.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that, I certainly made note of that. And even in camp, we didn't see much, if any, no huddle except in a 2-minute situation. So I think that's showing other, you know, showing future opponents that. I think it's working on that. You know, I looked it up the other day, Jason. 200 dropbacks Watson had in his 6 games last year, and only 2 weren't empty. And we come out in the preseason, and the Browns lead the league in empty by a large percentage. Now, Watson only played, what, 4 drives?
Yeah.
He's seen today. And I do think Jerome Ford getting the touches and getting the – I think they trust him. But I think the Browns are comfortable with saying when it's Nick's time to rest, we will use Elijah Moore as a running back, or there will be situations that we won't use a running back, and we will trust our guys to get open and Deshaun to make something happen quickly. Because there is risk in that, you know, of a blitzer coming and not getting picked up, or of trying to make too quick of a read, right? Because you're spreading the throw quickly. So, again, you know, to be able to use really the whole second half as a scrimmage, and then to be able to get the roadmap to where you're pounding away on them and you're not overusing Chubb, it's success.
Yeah, I mean, what am I missing? What didn't we cover? It feels like we haven't done this long enough to fully praise the effort, but I think we covered everything.
Yeah. I see you guys, like, I don't get into the players talking like Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is great. Jamar Chase wasn't great today, right? So Greg Newsom's out there giving them the too small sign. The Browns should dance. The PA announcer was all over it today when they put the backup in and Burrow was out. The Browns defense stood there and took a bow, and they deserved it. But as far as like what gets said and all of that, that means zero. It means zero to game plan. This is the National Football League, right? So I like it when they do talk. It's fun, but it means nothing. So Jamar Chase and the Bengals got their ass kicked today, and the Browns can dance, and we'll see. Like I said, this is on the Browns to make that game in Week 18 mean something. And obviously the Bengals probably weren't expecting good today, but they got it served to themselves cold and quickly and forced down their throat. And so, you know, like I said, we wrap it like this. The Browns take their bow, and we're on to Pittsburgh. So we don't know what there will be a podcast, guys, at least one this week. It's a little different week because of the Monday night game, and it's always weird just kind of coming out of week one and feeling our way through things. So,
I mean, let's take 30 seconds and talk about what happened to Pittsburgh today. Jeez, oh, God, 30-7, the Niners just absolutely blow their doors off. Now, 1 week doesn't necessarily lead to the next, but you have to feel pretty good about where the Browns are coming off this one. And I mean, obviously we didn't get to see any of the Steelers game. We were here, but the reports coming in where Pickett looked terrible and the Steelers were just an absolute mess today. Are you surprised at how that thing turned out? I mean, obviously the 49ers are really good. They're a Super Bowl contender, but wow, I was not expecting 30-7 in Pittsburgh.
No, I'm surprised by the score. And obviously the only thing I knew about that game was 17-0 kind of right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's still the first quarter or not, but yeah, the Niners and the Niners lost to the Bears last year in week one. So I think there was a little bit of focus there, but yeah, that's a statement game. The Steelers were perfect in the preseason and were generating a little buzz. And I do think the Steelers still have a chance to be good. So, but yeah, that's probably the wow score of the day. Obviously I haven't seen a single other thing other than what the Browns did here. So we will see how that goes, but the Steelers don't want to be 0-2. Specifically, two home games, and then the division game coming up. So, if this is a different Browns team, it's not in who called who an elf or what Jamar Chase did last week, right? It's in going to Heinz Field next week or whatever the hell it's called now and winning. And we'll have you covered. Thanks for listening. Thanks for reading, guys. And we'll talk to you soon.